بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. طيب, today we're going to be taking a new lesson as we read from Lessons in Arabic Language, Level 4, Dr. Fa Abd Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And this is our fifth session, in which we're going to begin the new lesson 19. So for homework, we had suggested schedule of homework assignments for this session, yani that we should go through the entire English key points 1 through 11. That includes the main point, the first point, bab fa'ala, past tense, present tense, imperative form, the masdar, and the ism fa'il, ism maf'ul, ism makan, ism zaman, and then the rest of the points, any of the secondary points that follow. So there were 11 points in this lesson. When I looked at the lesson carefully, I realized that we couldn't do this lesson in two sessions, but it was very practical, yani, for us to do it in three sessions. So how I have divided up the lesson is that in the first session, we're going to do the English key, which is quite lengthy and detailed. I'm going to take our time and try to go through it carefully, without rushing. In the second session, we're going to go through the Arabic dialogue at the beginning of the lesson, which is also quite lengthy, 3-4 pages long. And we're going to take the first couple of exercises, yani maybe 2 pages or so, 2 pages of exercises. And then in the third session, we'll take the remaining exercises, which is about 3 pages of exercises. So we're going to do, and if there's like 5 or so pages of exercise, we're going to do half of them in the second session, half of them, or the remaining, which is a little bit more than half, in the third session. And today we're just going to do the English key. Okay, so we had this previous week, time to go through this English key and try to comprehend as much of it as we possibly could. And I always suggest that when you preview a lesson, that you highlight or underline or check off, yani, the areas which you might find some difficulty with, the areas that you couldn't fully comprehend or retain. All right, so when we go to the live session like today and we go through it, then, yani, the things that you already understood, yani, you'll just confirm those, and you'll really pay attention to the things that, when you read it by yourself, maybe were not completely clear. Okay, so let's focus on this lesson 19. There's a new bab from the Thulathi Mazid verbs, and we're going to discuss this bab in detail with 8 points, just like we discussed in lesson 17 from the third level. And in the same way we discussed those, the bab fa'ala, where the middle radical is doubled, and the bab af'ala, where the first radical is given sukoon and preceded by hamza with fatha, af'ala. The same way we looked at all these 8 points related to fa'ala and af'ala, the same thing we're going to do today with fa'ala. Okay, so we're going to look at the past tense form, how you derive the present tense form, how you derive the fi'l amra, how you derive the pattern for the, what is the pattern for the masdar. In this particular bab, there are 2 patterns. There are 2 possible patterns for masdar. And then we're going to look at the noun of the fa'il, the maf'ul, the zaman and makan. All right, so let's take our time and go through this carefully, and I'll compare, in certain places I'll compare it to the same 8 points that we did in chapters 16 and 17 that we reviewed, in the previous 2 weeks, so that inshallah, it will be easy for us to comprehend. There's one matter that I need to just check before we proceed any further. Next class will be January 1st. Okay, not next week, following week, inshallah. Okay. All right, so Na'am. Let's proceed. Okay, so we're going to do the English key today. 11 points, starting on page 81 and finishing on page 85. On page 86, there's just the Arabic, the English translation of the instructions for the exercises. But in terms of what we're going to be reading in Arabic today, those English instructions for the exercises are, in case when you're doing the exercises, the instruction is not completely clear, you can come back here and look at the translation of these instructions for the exercises. Otherwise, we're going to be going from page 81 through the end of page 85. All right, at the top of the page, English key for lesson 19, page 81, it says, In this lesson, we learn the following. Number one, again, it's not numbered, but there are 8 points that we're going to cover just as we did with the bab fa'ala and the bab af'ala. All right, so number one is the core of the lesson, and there are actually some other points that are really, really important in this lesson that we're going to cover after point number one. Some of them are secondary matters, and some of them are really fundamental, important matters that we need to understand and learn well. Okay, so this is an important lesson, inshallah. It contains a lot of beneficial points. And inshallah, hopefully, we understood most of it when we read it on our own, or with our study partner or study group. And what we didn't understand, I hope, by the permission of Allah, we'll make it clear, so that when we leave here today, everybody will be clear on the points that are covered here in the English key. Number one, bab fa'ala, fa'ala. In this bab, an aleph is added after the first radical. Okay, again, the first radical means the first root letter, represented by fa. The second radical means the second root letter, represented in this pattern by the letter ayn. And the third radical, or the third root letter, is represented in this pattern by lam. So the fa, the ayn, and the lam represent the first, second, and third radical. And this pattern tells us that the first radical is going to take fatha, elongated by an extra aleph. That's the bab fa'ala. That's how the past tense form of the verb is going to look. The first radical is going to take fatha, elongated by an added aleph. And then the second radical takes fatha, and the third radical also takes fatha. And we're also going to see some irregularities in reference to irregular verbs, like the naqis verb and things like that. Okay, so we'll see some irregularities with irregular verbs, but this is the basic rule. So in this bab, an aleph is added after the first radical. For example, qabala. Qabala. The first radical is qaf. It takes fatha, and an extra aleph is added after the first radical, so it became qabala. Ba is the second radical. Lam is the third radical. Qabala means he met someone. Sa'ada. Sa'ada means he helped someone. The first radical is seen, with an extra aleph added after the first radical. And the second radical is ayn, third radical is del. The next example is hawala. Hawala, as in halal and haram. Hawala. And again, the first radical has an extra aleph added after it. It means he tried, to try to do something. Hawala. Rasala. He corresponded. And he had correspondence with someone. They were corresponding with one another, writing back and forth. Rasala. Shahada. Shahada means he watched. He witnessed something. He watched it. He looked at it. And laqa. Laqa means he met someone. To meet someone. Laqa. Here I just want to note that this verb, this is a naqis verb. So we see the first radical, the lam, being followed by an extra aleph. The second radical has fatha, and the third radical is aleph maksura. that alif maksura that in the mudari will turn into ya. Okay, so that letter, alif maksura, doesn't take a vowel. Okay, but the pattern, it should have been the third radical took fatha as well, but since it's alif maksura, it doesn't take a vowel. In some cases, that alif maksura is going to be omitted or deleted, as we will see. So please pay attention to the naqis verb, yani, in all of the abwab of mazid and other than that. Yani, there's always some irregularity with the naqis verb, just as it is with the ajwaf verb and the mithal, yani, the mu'tal verbs. Alright, so again, the past tense form, and this is the first matter of eight, the past tense form is that the past tense form of this bab follows the pattern of fa-a-la. Yani, the first radical takes fatah elongated by alif, and the second radical takes fatah, and the third radical takes fatah. In this bab, an alif is added after the first radical. For example, qabala, sa'ada, hawala, rasala, shahada, and laqa. Yani, it should have been laqa-ya. Laqa-ya, but it became laqa, because alif maksura doesn't take a vowel. Okay, the second matter is the mudari. How do we formulate the mudari from the past tense? As the verb is made up of four letters, yani, the original three radicals plus the extra alif that's added after the first radical makes four letters. Since the verb is made up of four letters, the harf al-mudara'ati, harf al-mudara'a, takes dhamma. For example, yuqabilu, yusa'idu, yuhawilu, and yulaqi. It should have been yulaqiyu. But again, because this is a naqis verb, there's some irregularity here. But the basic form is that, yani, the first radical takes dhamma instead of, as in the mudari verbs, normally the first radical takes fatha, yani the ya, the ta, the hamza, or the noon. But when a verb has four letters, we said that the mudara'a letter, the letter that is attached as a prefix to the mudari verb, yani, that letter is going to take dhamma if the verb has four letters. So we have three root letters, and we have the fourth letter is the alif that is added here. So in the mudari form, the mudara'a letter is going to take dhamma. The second radical is going to take kasra, and the third radical is going to take whatever is necessary according to the case ending. Yani, dhamma if it's marfu'un, fatha if it's mansub, and sukoon if it is majzoom. Alright? The first radical is going to take dhamma, the second radical is going to take fatha and the extra alif, the mudara'a letter is going to take dhamma, the first radical, the first root letter, is going to take fatha elongated by alif, and the second radical is going to take kasra. So this is the same as what we saw in lesson 16 with allama yu'allimu. Yani, the first radical took dhamma, the third radical took kasra. Yu'allimu. And the same thing we said in lesson 17 with bab af'ala, like aslama yuslimu. Yani, the mudara'a letter takes dhamma, and the second radical takes kasra. The same thing here. The next to the last radical, the second or middle radical, is taking kasra. The first the mudara'a letter is taking dhamma. The prefix letter is taking dhamma. The first radical root letter is taking fatha with the extra alif. The second radical is taking kasra. Okay, so from qabala you have yuqabilu. From sa'ada you have yusa'idu. From hawala you have yuhawilu. And from laqa you have yulaqi. Yani, it should have been yulaqiyu, yulaqi. And they skipped rasala. Rasala would be yurasilu. And they skipped shahada. In the mudari it would be yushahidu. So these are six examples they gave us for the past tense. Qabala, sa'ada, hawala, rasala, shahada, and laqa, the fi'l naqis form. So these past tense forms, what we're going to do, we're going to add the prefix letter, the harf mudara, with a dhamma. The first root letter is going to take fatha elongated by the extra aleph. The second root letter is going to take kasra. It's going to take kasra. Alright? That's how you formulate the mudari. From qabala you get yuqabilu. From sa'ada you get yusa'idu. From hawala to try you get yuhawilu. Yani he is trying. From laqa you get yulaqi. He is meeting someone. The third matter of the eight matters is the amra, the fi'l amra, the command form or the imperative form. How do we formulate the imperative form from the mudari form? After omitting the harf al-mudara'a, yani the prefix letter for the mudari is omitted. And the case ending, yani the vowel of the case ending, the last letter, yani that dhamma is going to be, also the dhamma is going to be removed, so it's going to be sukoon. So two things happen to formulate the fi'l amr. The harf mudara'a is omitted, and the final radical loses its case ending, the dhamma, and it becomes sukoon. And what's left is the fi'l amr. So from qabala yuqabilu, and of course remember the fi'l amr is always formulated from the second person form. So it will be formulated from tuqabilu, because the fi'l amr is when you're speaking directly to somebody, second person. So tuqabilu, the mudara'a letter tu is omitted. And the case ending on the last letter, the lam, is omitted. It became sukoon. So tu qabilu, get rid of the two, it became qabil. That's the fi'l amr. Qabil. The same thing, before we go to the naqis verb, the same thing, for example, the second, in the past tense, they gave us qabil. They gave sa'ada, yusa'idu, from tu sa'idu, get rid of the two, and make the last radical root letter sukoon. Tu sa'idu became sa'id. From hawala yuhawilu, tu hawilu became hawil. From rasala yurasilu, from tu rasilu, get rid of the two, it became rasil. Tu rasilu, rasil. Shahada yushahidu, tu shahidu became shahid. Get rid of the two and the last radical takes sukoon. Shahid. That's how you formulate the fi'l amr. Now, as far as the naqis verb, it says here, under the amr, it says the ya is omitted from the naqis verb. Yani, in other words, the alif maksura or the ya, the last radical from the naqis verb, instead of, yani, in formulating the fi'l amr, the last radical takes sukoon. But in the naqis verb, instead of the last radical taking sukoon, it's deleted. The last radical is deleted. That's how you formulate the fi'l amr for the naqis verb. You get rid of the harf mudara'a, the first letter that's prefixed to the mudari form. Get rid of that letter. And in normal verbs, you make the last letter sakin. But with the naqis verb, the last radical is deleted. So, the harf mudara is deleted, and the last radical is deleted from the naqis verb. That's how you formulate the fi'l amr. So the amr of, yani laqa yulaqi, tu laqi, get rid of the tu, and get rid of the ya to end, and it became laqi, without elongation. Laqi. Tu laqi became laqi. And in the same way that we did that, another naqis verb that we're going to see in this lesson, for example, is nada, to call out to somebody. Nada is the past tense. Yunadi is the present tense. The fi'l amra, yani from tu nadi, get rid of the tu and you get nadi without elongation. Tu nadi became nadi. And another naqis verb that we're going to see in this lesson, just so that we can see more examples of how to formulate the fi'l amra from the naqis verb, we're going to also see bara, yani to participate in a contest, yani like a football game or a basketball game or whatever, a contest. Bara is the past tense, bara, with alif maksura on the end, right? The mudari is yubari. So the fi'l amr from tu bari is get rid of the tu and get rid of the ya to end, and you have bari without elongation. Bari. Okay, just like we have here, laqi, so we also have nadi, and we have bari, yani without elongation, because the last letter, the alif la maksura that in the mudari becomes ya, that ya is deleted along with the harf mudara'a, yani the prefixed letter that is added at the beginning for the mudari forms, yani that ya or ta or hamza or noon. In this case it would be the ta, because the fi'l amr is derived from the second person form of the mudari by deleting the mudara'a letter and making the last letter sukoon, or in the case of the naqis verb, deleting the last letter, the final radical, the alif maksura, or in the mudari form it would be a ya. Okay, that's the third matter. That's madi, mudari, and fil amr. Now the fourth matter is the masdar. The masdar. And again, these are not numbered, but I just myself like to use numbers so I can always see where I'm at. The fourth matter, yani we're on page 81 of the English key for lesson 19, halfway down the page, the fourth matter, not numbered number 4, but it's the fourth matter that we're discussing on the bab, fa'ala, is the masdar. This bab has two masdars. Okay, remember we said that the thulathi mazid verbs each have a pattern for the masdar. They have a pattern, a wazn. So from allama, yu'allimu, you have ta'aleem. Yani the pattern for the masdar is taf'eel. And from, yani the bab af'ala, from aslama, for example, yuslimu, you have, yani the masdar is islam or if'al. That's the masdar pattern, if'al. So all verbs from the bab af'ala, like aslama or amana, the masdar is going to be on that pattern, yani if'al. For all verbs from the bab fa'ala, yani the masdar is going to be on the pattern of taf'il. So here also we have a pattern, but here not only we have one pattern, we have two patterns. So there are two possible patterns for a masdar for verbs from this bab fa'ala. There are two possible patterns. Sometimes one verb might have both of those patterns, might use two masdars from both of those, one from each of those patterns. But usually it's going to be one pattern or the other. All right, so there are two masdar patterns for the bab fa'ala. A, the first one is on the pattern of mufa'alatun. Mufa'alatun. And B, the other is on the pattern of fi'alun. So these are the two patterns, mufa'alatun and bi-fi'alun. So let's look at each of them separately. The first masdar pattern for bab fa'ala is the pattern of, yani the wazn of mufa'alatun. Mufa'alatun. For example, from sa'ada, to help someone, you have musa'adatun, help or helping. From qabala, to meet someone, on the pattern of mufa'alatun, you have muqabalatun, meeting. From hawala, to try to do something, on the pattern of mufa'alatun, you have muhawalatun, trying to do something. Before we look at the naqis verb, let's stop here and take a little more careful look at this first masdar pattern. Okay, again, the masdar pattern, the first masdar pattern is mufa'alatun. So what does that mean, mufa'alatun? It means that the mim is an added letter. The masdar is going to have an extra mim with dhamma. Then we're going to have the fa, which is the first radical, the first root letter of the verb, taking fatha, elongated by an extra alif. And then we're going to have the ayn, which is the second root letter. And if the fa is the first root letter, ayn is the second root letter, it's going to take fatha. And then we're going to have lam, which is the third root letter. The third radical is going to take fatha. And then we're going to have ta marbuta. And then we're going to have ta marbuta. So look. This pattern is consists of three root letters, fa, ayn, and lam. The fa represents the first root letter. It's going to take fatha alif. The ayin represents the second root letter. It's going to take fatah. Lam represents the third root letter. It's going to take fatah. And in addition to that, this pattern has a mim with dhamma prefixed to the beginning of it, and ta marbuta suffix to the end of it. All right. So there are three letters added here. There's a prefix letter mim with dhamma. There's a suffix letter ta marbuta. And then the first radical has an aleph added to it. That's the aleph that's added to the pattern of fa'ala. So the aleph is already there from the pattern fa'ala, but for the master, we're going to add to it a meme with dhamma as a prefix and ta marbuta as a suffix. Okay, so that's what the pattern of mufa'alatun, what it means is that we're going to add a meme to the beginning of the master, to the beginning of the root letters. We're going to add a meme with dhamma. The first root letter or radical is going to take fatah aleph, as it has in the pattern for this bab, fa'ala. The second radical is going to take fatah, as it has in the masdar, as it has in the pattern, the past tense pattern for this bab, fa'ala. And the third root letter is also going to take fatah. So actually we have the original past tense pattern for this bab, fa'ala. We have it there, fa'ala. But we have attached to the beginning of it a meme with dhamma, and attached to the end of it ta marbuta. All right, so we're going to take the past tense form of the verb and add a meme with dhamma to the beginning of it and ta marbuta as a suffix to the end of it. So this first pattern is mufa'alatun. The original past tense form of this verb is bab fa'ala. We're just going to add mu to the beginning and ta marbuta to the end. So for example, sa'ada. We're just going to add a meme to the beginning, mu, sa'ada, and then tarmabuta on the end. Sa'ada, the masdar is what? Musa'adatun. So it's relatively simple. It's just adding meme to the beginning and tarmabuta on the end of the past tense form of the verb. So the second example they gave us is qabala. We're going to add meme with dhamma to the beginning and tarmabuta to the end. It became muqabalatun, meeting. Hawala became muhawalatun, trying to do something. Alright, so I think the first master pattern is relatively simple. It's just adding a prefix and a suffix. In the naqis verb, where there's always some irregularities, the fatha, ya fatha, aya, is changed to a. It's changed to, and instead of fatha, ya, that fatha, the ya is changed to an aleph. And it became a. Instead of a, ya, it became a. Alright, so what happens here is, for example, in the verb laqa, which means he met, it's gonna, in order to make the masdar pattern, we're gonna put meem in the beginning, so it became mula, yani mulaqat. How did it become mulaqat? We added meem with dhamma to the beginning, and then we have laqa. And then we have ya on the end. That ya is going to take in the pattern mufa'ala, the ya should have taken a fatta. So it should have been la qa ya and then tar mabuta. So that la qa ya tun, instead of qa ya tun, it became qat with yani tar mabuta on the end. So the a ya is changed to just a. So mula qa ya tun became mula qatun. Mula qat. A ya, yani the fatta on the second radical. And the ya that doesn't have a vowel in the past tense form or in the mudari form, that ya takes fatta because tarmabuta is always preceded by fatta. That's the general rule. Whenever you end the word with tarmabuta, the letter before tarmabuta is always fatha. Alright? So, yani the original form of this verb, yani, would have been, yani, la, qa, ya. Or, yani, yula, qi, yu. But the vowel, the alif maksura, or the ya, doesn't take a vowel, so it became la, qa, and yula, qi. Yula, qi. When you want to form the master from the pattern mufa'alatun, then this ya, the fatta on the second radical, and the ya and its fatta, what it should have been, la qaya, Yani, it's going to change to, instead of a, ya, it's going to be just fatha alif. Mulaqa, and then the ta marbuta tun. Mulaqatun. I hope it's clear. Yani, it's just a matter of changing the fatha on the second radical followed by ya with a fatha that must precede ta marbuta, must be fatha. That fatha, ya, fatha, aya becomes a, just becomes a long vowel. So instead of mulaqayatun, yani the original form of this masdar should have been mulaqayatun. Instead of qaya, it became mulaqatun. That's all. Alright, so long explanation, but I hope, yani, at least we can see what's happening. If any, the whole process of how it happens is not clear, then the only thing we need to do here then is just make sure that for the masdar for naqis verbs, we're going to add the prefix to the beginning. And yani, the alif maksura or ya in the mudari is going to be changed to an alif. That's all. It's going to be changed to a regular alif. So it became yani mulaqa instead of qaya. Mulaqa. And then the regular tamabuta. Mean to the beginning, tamabuta to the end, mulaqatun. Okay, the second example they gave us is bara. Bara means, yani, to contest or to match. Yani, to have a contest or match. Yani, a sports match, for example. Or any kind of match. So, bara means to participate in a contest, to contest someone. The mudari form would be from bara, yubari. Yubari, right? So that alif maksura in the past tense and the ya in the present tense is going to become an alif. Mamduda, straight up and down alif like the number one. So what we're going to do here, from bara, yani just like we just added the mean to the beginning and tarmabuta to the end to regular vowels, from sa'ada we just said musa'adatun. So the same thing here we're going to say, yani from bara, mubara, tun. And you're just going to add meem with dhamma to the beginning and tarmabutu to the end, and the alif maksura or ya, yani the third radical, becomes an alif, a regular alif. Bara became mubaratun with tarmabutu. So all we're doing here is making that alif maksura or that ya and straight up and down alif mamduda, and doing everything like we do with the other forms of masdars for this particular bab. We had meem with dhamma to the beginning, tarmabutu to the end. So it became mubaratun, a contest or a match. From the original, should have been mubarayatun. Mubaraya. So the raya became ratun bas. Mulaqayatun became mulaqatun. Huh? Tayyib. Okay, so this is the first pattern for the masdar from the bab fa'ala, yani it's on the wazn, the pattern of mufa'alatun, just adding meem with dhamma to the beginning as a prefix and ta marbuta to the end as a suffix. Mufa'alatun. Sa'ada, musa'adatun. Qabala, muqabalatun. Hawala, muhawalatun. Laqa, mulaqatun. Bara, mubaratun. That's it. Okay, the second masdar pattern for the bab fa'ala, the other is on the pattern or the wazn of fi'alun. Fi'alun. And what we mean by fi'alun, fa represents the first radical, it takes kasra. Ayn represents the second radical or the second root letter, it takes fatha, elongated by an extra alif. And then the third radical, yani, takes whatever is required, yani, for the case ending. Okay, so fi'alun means the first radical takes kasra, the second radical takes fatha elongated by alif. So we have three radicals, for example, from the verb jahada. The first radical is jim, takes kasra. The second radical is ha, takes fatha elongated by alif. And the third radical takes whatever is required as the case ending. So from jahada, on the pattern of fi'al, you get jihad, striving. From nafaqa, noon is the first radical, it takes kasra. Fa is the second radical. It takes fatah elongated by alif. From noon, fa qaf, on the pattern of fi'al, nifaq, hypocrisy. Okay? In the naqis verbs, again, irregularity in the naqis verb, ya is changed to hamza. Yani, for the pattern of fi'al, the ya, the alif maksura, or the ya in the mudari, is changed to hamza. So, for example, from the verb nada, yani noon is the first radical, takes kasra, dal is the second radical, takes fatah elongated by alif, and the third radical, the ya or alif maksura, is changed to hamza. It's changed to hamza. So, from nada, the master on the pattern of fi'al is nida'un. For the original, what it should have been is nida'yun, because it's noon, del, ya, on the pattern of fi'al, it should have been nida'yun, but that ya is going to be changed to hamza. The alif maksura or the ya is changed to hamza. So, the first pattern of the masdar is mufa'alatun. You just take the past tense verb, prefix it with meem, with dhamma, suffix it with ta marbuta. Sa'ada musa'adatun. The second masdar pattern is fi'al, meaning the first radical takes kasra, the second radical takes fatha elongated by alif. From jahada, jihad. From nafaqa, nifaq. Okay, a naqis verb. From nada, nida'un, instead of nida'yun. Okay, the fifth matter of the eight matters, after the past tense form, how do you formulate the mudari form? How do you formulate the fi'l amra? How do you formulate the masdar on the pattern of mufa'alatun or fi'alun? Now we come to the fifth matter, and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, and all of those are ism. Ism fa'il, the one who's doing the action. Ism mafa'ul, the one to whom the action is done. Ism makan, the place where the action occurs. Or ism zaman, the time where the action occurs. The time when the action occurs. Alright, so these last four matters are all asma, nouns that represent the one who's doing the action of the verb, or the one that the action happens to, or the place or time where the action occurs, when and where the action occurs. Okay, so let's look at the fifth point. It's not numbered, near the bottom of page 81, English key for lesson 19. The ism al-fa'il, yani ism al-fa'il, yani the noun that represents the one who is doing the action of the verb, the fa'il, the subject doer of the action of the verb. So, for example, from yurasilu, yani the past tense is rasala, present tense yurasilu, we learned previously in bab fa'ala and bab af'ala that you merely are going to change the mudara'a letter from ya with dhamma to meem with dhamma. The same thing we said there, yani the ism fa'il from allama, yu'allimu, is changing you in yu'allimu to mu, mu'allimun. Ism fa'il, mu'allimun. From yu'allimu, mu'allimun. And the same thing we said from the bab af'ala, yani, like aslama, yuslimu, you change yu to mu. From yuslimu, it became muslimun. So the same thing we're saying here, yani, from rasala, the mudari form is yu rasilu, so we're changing the yu to mu, murasilun. But since it's a noun, it takes tanween, right? Yu rasilu has a single dhamma, mu rasilun has tanween because it's a noun. Yu rasilu is a verb, murasilun is a noun, is the ism fa'il, the one who does the yani action of corresponding, the correspondent, mu rasilun. Likewise, from shahada, yu shahidu, yu becomes mu mushahidun, mushahidun, one who is witnessing or viewing something, a viewer, mushahidun. Likewise, يعني, but here is the irregularity because of the ناقص verb. From لا, from لاقى to meet someone, the مضارع verb is يلاقي, يلاقي. So here, يعني you change the prefix مضارع letter from you to مو, and it should have been ملاقي, ملاقي, but because this noun is from a ناقص verb, the اسم منقوص, remember if it doesn't have ألف لام, we said it loses the ياء at the end, it loses the ياء, just like we said with يعني ماض and قاد and واد, if it doesn't have ألف لام, that last letter, the ياء is omitted, alright? So from يلاقي, يعني we change you to مو, it should have been ملاقي, ملاقي, but instead the ya is deleted, so it became ملاقٍ, one who meets. And the same thing with the next ناقص verb, نادى, to call out to someone, the مضارع ينادي, يعني change the you to مو, مناد, it should have been منادي, but instead the ya is deleted because it's اسم منقوص, so it became munadin, mulaqin, munadin. But if the alif lam is added to this word mulaqin, it became, yani on its regular form, al mulaqi, and munadin became al munadi, yani the one who is calling, the one who is meeting. All right. So this is the ism fa'il. It's just like we had in lesson 16 and 17. For the bab fa'ala and the bab af'ala, the mudari form is changed from you to mu, and that's how you form the ism fa'il. With the third radical, I'm sorry, the second radical, the middle radical, taking kesra. The ism fa'il always has on the middle radical kesra. That indicates that it's the fa'il as opposed to the maf'ul, ism maf'ul, instead of كسرة, it would take fatha. That's the difference between the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul, the kasra and the fatha. So here we see the ism fa'il has kasra on the middle radical, and the ism maf'ul we will see has fatha. Number six. This is number six, the sixth point of the 8 points that we're going to look at in these abwab of mazid. The ism al-maf'ul. This is just like the ism fa'il that we just looked at. It's just like the ism fa'il. Then you change the U to Mu, except that the second radical, the middle radical, takes here, and the ism maf'ul takes fatha. In the ism fa'il it takes kasra, in the ism maf'ul it takes fatha. So for example, from raqaba yu raqibu, yani to observe, to watch over someone, to observe something. Yu raqibu, ism fa'il, change U to Mu, it became muraqibun, with kasra on the second radical. That's the ism fa'il. The difference here is the ism maf'ul, instead of kasra, is going to take fatha on that middle radical. So, muraqibun is the one who observes, who does the action, the fa'il, ism fa'il. And if you turn to page 82, at the top of the page, it says muraqabun with fatha instead of kasra. Muraqabun is the one who is observed. Muraqib is the one who observes. Muraqab is the one who is observed. The only difference between the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul is the ism fa'il is the one who's doing the action. The second radical takes kasra. The ism maf'ul, the one to whom the action is done, takes fatha. Ism fa'il takes kasra. Ism maf'ul takes fatha. Another example they gave us is from khataba yukhatibu. Yukhatibu means to address someone, to speak directly to someone. Yukhatibu. So to formulate the ism fa'il, the one who's doing the action, we just change you from yukhatibu to mu, mukhatibun. Second radical taking kasra for the ism fa'il means mukhatib, one who addresses, one who is addressing someone directly. If we change that kasra to fatha on the middle radical, mukhatibun becomes mukhatabun, mukhatabun. Mukhata with fatha is the ism maf'ul, one who is addressed. Mukhatib, one who addresses someone, speaks to someone directly. Mukhatab is the one who is being addressed, who is being spoken to directly. Again, the difference between the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul, ism fa'il takes kasra on the middle radical, ism maf'ul takes fatha. Okay, here they give us an example of the anakis verb again. Anakis verb. From nada, to call out to someone, the mudari, nada yunadi. The ism fa'il is munadin with kasra. Again, the last radical is deleted because ism manqus from a naqis verb. Munadin is one who calls. Munadan with fatha is one who is called. Alright? Muraqib is the one who is observing. Ism fa'il. Muraqab is the one who is being observed. Ism maf'ul. Mukhatib is the one who is addressing somebody. Ism fa'il. Mukhatab with fatha is the ism maf'ul, the one who is being addressed. Munadin is the one who is ism fa'il, the one who is addressing, calling out to somebody. Munadan is the one who is being called out to. And I did skip one example here. I don't know how I skipped it, but in any case, the third line from the top of page 82 begins with yubarik, from baraka, yubariku. Yubariku is the ism, is the fi'l mudari, yubariku. And the ism fa'il would have been mubariku, but it's not used, mubariku with kasra. But the ism maf'ul is used, yani instead of kasra has fatha, mubarakun, means the one who is blessed. The ism maf'ul, the one that the action of blessing falls upon, one who is blessed. Mubarakun. Mubarak with kasra would have been the ism fa'il, but it's not used. And mubarak is the ism maf'ul with fatha. Alright, so that is the sixth matter, the ism maf'ul. Again, the difference between ism fa'il and ism maf'ul, the one who's doing the action and the one that it's done to, is the ism fa'il, the second radical takes kasra. Ism maf'ul, the second radical, takes fatha. And that's for all of the babs of mazid, as we've seen already in lessons 16 and 17 with the bab fa'ala and the bab af'ala. Now we see it with the bab fa'ala. Fa'ala. Okay, that's the end of the first point. Okay, and that is the core of the lesson. Let me just check and see how much time we have left. Okay, we're good for time. And now we're going to go on to the remaining points. And again, as I said, some of these points that follow the main point are also very important. Some of them are really important. Some of them are a little involved, and you have some information that we have to pay careful attention to and remember. But in any case, let's go on. Second, point number two, page 82, says, point number two, we have seen Lam al-Ibtida in lesson 17, two lessons ago. For example, Labaytuka ajmalu. Indeed, your house is more beautiful. Yani, this lam in the beginning is called lam al-ibtida. It's a lam that is attached to the mubtada. And it is used for emphasis, to emphasize the meaning of whatever is in that sentence. It's emphasizing the meaning of the statement. The lam here should not be confused with the lam with kasra, which is a preposition li. And when that preposition li is connected to pronouns, it takes fatha, like laka, lahu, laha, for him, I mean for you, for him, for her. That lam with fatha is originally lam with kasra, it's a preposition. This lam with fatha is originally with fatha. It's called lam al-ibtida. You use it in the beginning, yani in the beginning of the sentence. That's why it's called ibtida, yani from ibtada, yani to begin something. So this lam al-ibtida that we studied in lesson 17 comes in the beginning of the sentence. It's attached to the mubtada and it emphasizes the meaning of the sentence. Now we are learning, if we want to use inna also in the same sentence with lam al-ibtida, the lam has to be pushed to the chaber, has to be pushed ahead to the chaber, as two particles of emphasis cannot come together in one place. Remember we said that lam al-ibtida is used for emphasizing the meaning of the sentence. And we had learned previously that inna is also used for emphasizing the meaning. So what we're saying here is that if we want to use both the lam of emphasis and the inna for emphasis, they cannot come together at this, yani come together in one place. So the lam al-ibtida is moved ahead to the khabar. It's moved from the mubtada to the khabar, and then inna replace comes in its place with the mubtada. So inna comes is attached to the mubtada, and the lam al-ibtida moves on to the khabar. Because what? Because two particles of emphasis cannot come together in one place. So the sentence becomes from labaytuka ajmalu, it becomes inna baytaka la ajmalu. Remember that the lam al-ibtida does not affect the mubtada, nor does it affect the khabar in terms of i'rab. It doesn't change the i'rab of the sentence. That's why baytu is marfu'un with dhamma as a mubtada. Lam al-ibtida didn't change it. And likewise, when the lam al-ibtida moves on to the khabar, it also doesn't change yani ajmalu from being marfu'un with dhamma. It doesn't affect it. But inna, remember inna and akhawatu inna, change the mubtada, which now becomes ism inna, from being marfu'un to being mansub. So here we have, in the original sentence, la baytu with dhamma, here we have inna bayta with fatta, because ism inna is mansub, and the primary sign of a noun when it's mansub is fatta. So inna baytaka la ajmalu, indeed your house is more beautiful. Yani this is double emphasis. Inna is emphasis, and the lam is also emphasis. After removal from its original position, the lam is no longer called lam al-ibtida, because ibtida means in the beginning, in the yani you begin with it. Bada, yabda, ibtada. So now, when it had to be moved on, it is now called al-lamu al-muzahlaqatu. Al-muzahlaqatu. Yani the displaced lam. The lam that has been moved from its place with the mubtada to a new place with the khabar. Displaced. The displaced lam. Okay, it still has the same function, meaning that it emphasizes the meaning of the sentence along with the newly attached inna, which is also for emphasis, so it becomes doubly emphasized. Inna baytaka la ajmal means indeed, certainly, definitely, your house is more beautiful. Again, after the removal of the lam al-ibtida from its original position, from the mubtada, the lam now is no longer called lam al-ibtida. Now when it's attached, moved on to the khabar, it is now called al-lamu al-muzahlaqa, the displaced lam. A sentence with both inna and lam is more emphatic than one with either inna or lam alone, only. If either inna or lam is used by itself, then it is emphasized. But when both of them come together, it becomes more emphatic, more strongly emphasized. Okay, here are some examples of inna being used with the lam of emphasis, which now with inna, it's no longer called lam al-ibtida, now it's called al-lam al-muzahlaqatu. Here are some examples. Inna awwana al-buyuti la baytu al-anqabuti. Inna awwana al-buyuti la baytu al-anqabuti. Indeed, the frailest, weakest of houses is the spider's house. Okay? Indeed, certainly, definitely, the frailest, the weakest of houses is the spider's house. This is in the Quran, 29th Surah, 41st Ayat. Here we see inna being attached to the mubtada. Inna awwana. Definitely, certainly, the weakest al-buyut of houses. La baytu. La, this is second emphasis. La baytu al-anqabutu. We notice here that lam al-muzahalaqa doesn't change the khabar from being marfu'un to something else. It doesn't affect it. Whereas inna affects the ism inna, makes it mansub with fatha. Inna awwana البيوتي لبيتو العنقبوتي. Okay, the next example they gave us is إن إلهكم لواحد. Indeed, your إله, your God, the one that deserves to be worshipped, إلهكم, your إله is one. So here we have double emphasis, إن, and إلهكم. We see that إله is منسوب with فتح as اسم إن, and then لواحد, the خبر واحد is not affected in terms of its إعراب, it doesn't change from being مرفوع because of لام المزحلقة. Again, this is in the Quran, 37th Surah, 4th Ayat. Indeed, your Ilah, the one that is worshipped, is one. Yani is unique, is alone, doesn't have any partners or associates. The third example they gave us is إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ. Indeed, the first sanctuary, the first house that was appointed for mankind as a place of worship, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ, yani the first, indeed the first house or sanctuary, place of worship that was appointed for mankind to worship at, yani لِلنَّاسِ, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ, that has been set up for the people for worship, لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ, is that which, the one which is in Bekka. Yani Bekka meaning another word, another name for Mecca is Bekka. So the first of houses, sanctuaries that were set up, that has been placed in the earth for mankind to worship at, is the one which is at Bekka or Mecca. This is in the Quran, 3rd Surah, 96 Ayat. We see the emphasis, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ, يعني اسم إن is منسوب بالفتح, and then we see لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّة, يعني لام المزحلقة, which doesn't يعني affect the خبر. The last example they gave us is إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Indeed, the harshest, the most detestable of all voices is the voice of the donkey. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ, indeed, Ankara, ism inna mansub al-fatah, the most detestable, disgusting, ugliest of aswat, of voices, la sawtul hamir, yani is the voice of the hamir, the donkey. And here we see that the khabar, sawt, is not affected by lam al-muzahlaqa. The lam al-muzahlaqa, yani is attached now to the khabar, it doesn't affect its i'rab, it doesn't change it from being marfu'un with dhamma. So this is from the Quran, 31st Surah, Surah Al-Luqman, 19th Ayat. Okay, so the summary of point number 2 is what? That lam al-ibtida that we learned in lesson 17 is used for emphasis. It's attached, yani ibtida, it's in the beginning of the sentence attached to the mubtada. Doesn't affect the mubtada in terms of i'rab, it just emphasizes the meaning of the sentence. If we want to double emphasize the sentence and we want to use inna, then the lam has to be moved on to the khabar, because two particles of emphasis cannot come together in one place, and therefore any the lam moves on to the khabar, and its name is changed now to the displaced lam, the lam that has been moved out of its place, moved on to another place, al lam al muzahlaqa. A sentence that uses either inna for emphasis or la, or this lam for emphasis, yani, is not as emphatic as when both of them are used together. Okay, let's go on to point number 3, bottom of page 82. Very, very important matter. Point number 3, the particle qad is prefixed to the verb. Qad is prefixed to a verb, both madhi and mudari. It can be used with madhi verb, past tense, and mudari verb. It has one meaning when it's used with the past tense verb. It has three possible meanings when it's used with the present tense verb. So when it's used with the past tense, it's crystal clear. A, with the madhi, it denotes certainty, at-ta'keed. Yani when it's used with the past tense, it means, yani it's just used for certainty, that something is certain, it is definite. For example, قَدْ دَخَلَ الْمُدَرِّسُ الْفَصْلَ. The teacher has already entered the classroom. The teacher has, قَدْ دَخَلَ, he has definitely entered the classroom. This is when it's used with the past tense, it means definitely, certainly, تَأْكِيد. Another example they gave us, قَدْ فَاتَتْكَ دُرُوسٌ. You did miss many lessons. Yani, the word many is not really here in the Arabic, but in any case it's understood. Yani, دُرُوس كَثِيرًا. قَدْ فَاتَتْكَ دُرُوسًا. You did indeed certainly miss many lessons. This is when it's used with the past tense. B, when it's used with the present tense, it has three possible meanings. Either doubt or possibility, that's one meaning. Rarity or paucity, that's a second meaning. And the third meaning is certainty, التحقيق. Alright, so be careful. The particle قد, if it's used with the past tense, it means definitely, certainly, surely. But when it's used with the present tense, it may have that meaning of certainty, or it may have one of other two possible meanings. Alright, so with the مضارع, we have to be careful and we have to look at the context to be sure if قد is being used here to mean something is definite, certain, or if it's being used with a different meaning, that it's not certain, it's doubtful, but it's possible, or that it's rare. It may happen sometimes, but not often. Alright, so those are two other possible meanings we're going to start with. The first meaning, with the مضارع, it denotes one of the following things. With the مضارع, it denotes one of the following things. Number one, doubt or possibility. Yani meaning, there's doubt about this thing, but it's possible. In Arabic, it means a shek. There's doubt about it. Wal ihtimal. But there is a possibility. It's possible. It's doubtful. It's not certainty. It's not certainty. Yani one of the meanings of qad with the mudari is certainty. But here, the meaning, this is another meaning of qad. It means that it's not certain. It's doubtful, but it's possible. For example, qad ya'udu al-mudiru gadan. The headmaster, the principal, may return tomorrow. May, meaning it's doubtful, but it is possible. He might return tomorrow. It's doubtful, but there is a possibility. That's the first meaning. الشك والاحتمال. There's doubt, but it's possible. Another example they gave us for this one. قد ينزل المطر اليوم. It may rain today. Meaning, قد ينزل المطر. The rain might come down. اليوم, today. It might come down. Yani, there's doubt about it, but it's possible. There's shek, but there's ihtimal. It's shek wal ihtimal. There's doubtful, but there is a possibility that it might rain today. Insha'Allah. Allah is the one who knows for sure. The second possible meaning is rarity or paucity. Yani at-taqleel. And it happens qaleelan. It happens a little bit, sometimes, but not regularly. It's not often. It's rare. That is, it conveys the sense of sometimes. Rarely it may happen. For example, قَدْ يَنْجَحُ الطَّالِبُ الْكَسْلَانُ. A lazy student, or the lazy student, sometimes passes the examination. Sometimes. It's rare, but it sometimes may happen. Okay, so that's one of the meanings of قَدْ with the مُضَارِ. It might mean something happens sometime, even though it's rare, but it happens sometimes. Another example, يَسْدُقُ الْكَذُوبُ. The liar sometimes tells the truth. And a liar may sometimes tell the truth. They lie a lot, but sometimes they might say something that's actually true. So this means what? That the meaning of qad, one of the possible meanings of qad, is something is rare, but it sometimes happens. The third meaning is the meaning that it has with the past tense, that is certainty, which is referred to here as a tahqiq. Tahqiq means something is definitely going to happen, or something definitely, yani, is certain about it. It's for sure. For example, وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Yani, mentioned in the Quran 61st, Surah Surah Al-Saf, Ayah 5, the 5th Ayat. While you know, وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ, while you certainly know for sure that I am the Messenger of Allah, أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ, that I am the Messenger of Allah sent to you. Yani, you know that with certainty. قَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ, you definitely do know with surety that I am the Messenger of Allah to you. Okay, so these are the meanings of qad. In the past tense, it means certainty. Definitely it did happen. In the present tense, it can mean certainty, a tahqiq, or it can mean rarity, taqleel. Sometimes it happens, not often. Or it can mean there's doubt and but a possibility. There's shek, there's doubt about it, it's not certain, but there's ihtimal, a possibility that it could happen. Okay, moving right along to point number 4, middle of page 83, the plural of ذو is ذو. Remember, ذو is from Asma al-Khamsa. It means sahib, the one who owns or possess something, a characteristic or some quality or whatever, or possession, some thing that they possess. The plural of ذو is ذو. It is declined like the sound masculine plural, the جم المذكر السالم. جم المذكر السالم. It's declined. And its إعراب is just like the sound masculine plural. Meaning, when it's مرفون, the sign of being مرفون is واو instead of ضمة. And when it's منسوب and مجرور, the sign of being منسوب and مجرور is يا instead of فتح and كسرة. Alright, just like the جم المذكر السالم. It is declined just like the sound masculine plural. That is, its raf, marfu'un, ending is waw instead of dhamma. And its nasb and jar, mansub and majrur, ending is ya instead of fatha and kasra. For example, an example of raf. Dhawu al-qurba ahakku bimusa'adatika. Dhawu al-qurba. Those who possess nearness to you, your relatives, deserve your help more. They have a greater right to your musa'ada, your help. Here, ذَوُ is مَرْفُوعٌ, as it is the مُبْتَدَى. And the rough ending, yani the sign of مَرْفُوعٌ is wow, instead of the primary sign of rough, which is dhamma. The nasb, an example of nasb, or mansub. سَاعِدْ ذَوِي الْعِلْمِ. Help people of knowledge. Help the people of knowledge. سَاعِدْ ذَوِي. Here, ذَوِي is mansub, because it is مَفْعُولٌ bi. It's the object of the verb sa'id. And the nasb, mansub ending is ya instead of fatha, like the sound masculine plural. Jar or majrur, example. Sa'altu an ذوي الحاجات. I asked about ذوي الحاجات, yani those people who have need, needy people. Here ذوي is majrur because it is preceded by the preposition an ذوي. So it's majrur, and the jar ending is ya instead of kasra, secondary sign of jar, because the secondary signs that are applicable to the sound masculine plural are applicable to this word ذَوُ, the masculine plural of the word ذُو, yani the one who possess or owns something. Number 5, bottom part of 83, we have learnt لَكِنَّ in book 2, lesson 3. لَكِنَّ يعني from the أخواتُ إِنَّ. It is a sister of إِنَّ, and its ism is منسوب. Remember, إِنَّ and أخواتُ إِنَّ are used with a جُمْلَ إِسْمِيَة, مُبْتَدَى and خَبَر. The مُبْتَدَى becomes ism إِنَّ, or in this case ism لَكِنَّ, and the ism of لَكِنَّ is منسوب. So for example, we had جَاءَ بِلَالٌ لَكِنَّ حَامِدًا منسوب لَمْ يَجِي. Bilal came but Hamid did not come. Its noon has shadda in the particle lakinna with shadda, but it is also used without shadda. That is, it's used like lakin with sukoon instead of shadda. Lakin. In this case, it loses two of its characteristics. A, it does not render the noun following it. The ism, like the ism lakinna, is mansub. Here, when it's used without the shadda, yani with sukoon, lakin, it does not make the noun following it mansub. For example, جاء المدرس لكن ولكن الطلاب ما جاءوا. The teacher came but the students did not come. Here, الطلاب is مرفوعٌ لكن الطلاب, and it's not mansub because here لكن is used without شدّة. In this case, it doesn't make the noun following it mansub. In the Quran we have, in the 19th surah, Surah Maryam, 38th ayat. لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين. لكن الظالمون, here, yani, but the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the ظالمون, today, are in manifest error. Yani, ضلال مبين, clear error. The wrongdoers are today in manifest error. Note that the word ظالمون following لكن, yani, is used instead of not ظالمين. Yani, it didn't become mansub because of lakin, because this lakin without the shadda does not make the noun following it mansub. The second thing that happens with lakin without the shadda, Yani two of the characters of lakinna are lost when you remove the shadda. So the first one, it doesn't make the noun following it mansub. And the second thing, B, it may also be used with a verbal sentence. Lakinna is only used with the jumla ismiyah. We said inna wa akhawatuha is only used with the jumla. Oh, I'm so sorry. I see that there are a couple of questions here. Oh, Allahu musta'an. Ya Shaykh, why are two different words used for certainty between the madi and the mudari? There's no clear, in my mind, there's no clear reason why in the madi they use ta'keed for certainty and in the mudari they use tahqiq. There's no clear reason, but perhaps they're using ta'keed because it's past tense, and past tense means that it already happened, while present tense means something is happening now. There's a little difference between the certainty of something that happened already in the past that's done, right, and something that's happening now. Maybe that's the reasoning why. Allahu alam. I haven't read any place or heard that there's a reason why they're using ta'keed and tahqiq, yani for past tense and present tense. But maybe it's related to the fact that past tense is something that is complete, it's finished, it's done, and present tense, yani, is happening now. It's not complete, it's not finished, it's not done. Wallahu alam. And then the question actually right following that, or do they have different levels of certainty? Maybe that's what I'm saying now. Maybe they have different levels of certainty. There's a different level of certainty between something that is completed, that's finished, that's done, and something that may be in the process, and we don't know how it's going to end up. So that might be the reason. Allahu alam. There's nothing clear in my mind from what I have read about this, and Allah knows best. Wafikum barakallah. Okay, getting back to lakinna. So the last thing we want to say about lakinna is that lakinna, from the akhawatu inna, it has two qualities that lakin doesn't have. It makes, yani lakinna makes the noun following it, ism lakinna mansub, and it's only used with the jumla ismiya, whereas lakin, it doesn't make the noun following it mansub, and it doesn't. And it's not limited to ism, to the jumla ismiya, may also be used with the jumla fi'liya. So the example they gave of it being used with a verbal sentence is ghaba aliyun walakin hadara ahmadu. Yani Ali was absent but Ahmed attended. Here we see lakin being used with a jumla fi'liya, whereas lakinna is only used with a jumla ismiya. And in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, second surah, ayah 12, walakin la yash'urun, but they do not perceive. And here again we see lakin being used with the jumla fi'liya, whereas lakinna is only used with the jumla ismiya. Point number six on page 84 is the kaf, the pronoun kaf in ulaika and tilka and thalika may be replaced with ki, second person feminine singular, kum, second person masculine plural, and kunna, second person feminine plural. Yani the kaf, ka, second person masculine singular, may be replaced with feminine singular, ki, or masculine plural, kum, or feminine plural, kunna, according to whom you are speaking to. So for example, if you're speaking to an individual male, you say, liman dhalika, with the kaf that represents the second person masculine singular, liman dhalika albaytu ya Bilal, to whom belongs that house, O Bilal. If you're speaking to a group of men, liman dhalikum albaytu, liman dhalikum albaytu ya ikhwanu, kum here being the second person masculine plural form. Feminine, you can say the same thing, liman dhaliki albaytu ya Maryamu, yani the key representing second person feminine singular, or liman dhalikunna albaytu ya akhawatu, kunna representing the second person feminine plural form. The same thing with the ism ishara, tilka, yani the kaf, we can change it from ka to kum to ki to kunna according to whether or not you're speaking to an individual male, plural, individual female, or group of females. So you can say tilka as-sa'atu, tilka with fatta, as-sa'atu jamilun, jamilatun, ya hamidu, that watch is beautiful, O Hamid. Or if you're speaking to a group of males, you can say, Tilkumu sa'atu jamilatun ya ikhwanu. That watch is beautiful, O brothers. Group of males. Or Tilki, speaking to an individual female, Tilki sa'atu jamilatun ya Maryamu, with ki representing second person, feminine, singular, or Tilkunna as-sa'atu jamilatun ya akhawatu. That watch is beautiful, O akhawat. And each of these sentences has the exact same meaning. Yani tilka sa, tilki sa, tilkum asa, tilkunna asa, all mean the same thing. That watch. But depending on if you're addressing an individual male or an individual female or a group of males or females, the pronoun kaf can be changed to correspond to who you are addressing. This is called tasarruf. Kaf al-khitab. Yani the kaf that represents you speaking to somebody directly, that kaf. Here it says, this is called tasarruf kaf al-khitab. Yani the inflection of the kaf al-khitab to represent or to reflect who you are addressing. Male, female, singular, plural, and so on. Alright, this is called tasarruf, the inflection of kaf al-khitab. And it is optional. It's not mandatory that you change that kaf. You can just leave it as kaf all the time, or you can do the inflection. Examples of this in the Quran: Dhalikum khayrun lakum. That is better for you. Second person, masculine plural. And we have Akuffarukum khayrun min ulaikum. Akuffarukum are your disbelievers better than those. And we see the kaf al-khitab reflecting, yani being inflected to reflect who's being addressed, group of males, yani plural. Akuffarukum khayrun min ulaikum. Also qala kadhaliki, he said, yani speaking to an individual female, kadhaliki, he said, qala kadhaliki, he said, thus it will be, in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 21st Ayat. And then we have, finally, in the 7th Surah, 43rd Ayat, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It will be said, yani وَنُودُوا, it will be called out, it will be announced to them, أَنَّ تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ, that this paradise, تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ, أُورِثْتُمُوهَا, you have inherited it, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, for what you used to do. Yani as a result of you having done good deeds, you earned Allah's mercy and His yani pleasure, and He allowed you to enter paradise. Not yani that what you did was the price for entering paradise, rather it was a sabab, a cause of entering paradise. Bima, here, this ba is ba is sababiyya. There's a long discussion concerning this for another time, but in any case, the point is, this paradise you have inherited for what you used to do. And the point here is that yani wanudu an tilkumul jannatu, tilkum yani second person masculine plural. Okay, point number 7 at the bottom of page 84 is the mudari is sometimes used for the amr, as in the Quran in Surah Al-Saff, 61st Surah, 11th Ayat. The mentioning here of tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi. Here, tu'minuna, believing in Allah and His Messenger, is actually intended to mean the fi'l amra. Aminu, aminu, believe. Allah is saying, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Not that you all believe, but it's a command. So here, the mudari form of the verb is used, but what is intended is the fi'l amra. This is why, yaghfir, in the next ayat, yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, the verb yaghfir is majzoom. Because what is intended by tu'minuna is aminu, fi'l amr, and therefore the verb that follows it, yani yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, is majzoom bit talab, because of the talab, yani, and we studied this previously in lesson 13, majzoom bit talab. It means here, yani in level 3 we took it, it means here that when there is a talab, a command or a prohibition or istifham, then the jawab al-qalab is majzoom. So the verb here, yaghfir, became majzoom. And yani if somebody goes back to the Quran, Surah Al-Saff, and look at the full context, it becomes clear that the actual meaning of tu'minuna billahi is aminu, yani a command form. Going to the top of page 85, the last page of the English key, point number 8, and these are small points here, but not yani unimportant. One of the master patterns is fi'alatun, yani fa, ayn, and lam represent the root letters. So the first radical takes kasra, the second radical takes fatta, elongated by alif, and the third radical is followed by ta marbuta. And remember, ta marbuta at the end of a word, the letter before it must always be fatha. So the first radical takes kasra, the second radical or root letter takes fatta alif, the third radical is going to be followed by ta marbuta, so it has to take fatha on the final radical before ta marbuta. So this is a pattern for masdar. Fi'alatun. For example, from aada ya'udu, ayyadatun. Yani, ayyadatun. On the pattern of what? Fi'alatun. Means visiting. Iyadatun. Visiting the sick. Qara'a. From qara'a yaqra'u, qira'atun. On the pattern of fi'alatun, qira'atun. The first radical takes kasra, second radical takes fatha, elongated by alif, and the third radical, because it's followed by ta marbuta, it must the letter before ta marbuta must always be fatha. And we're going to see a lot more examples of this from zara yazuru, ziyara, from kataba yaktubu, kitaba, from darasa yadrusu, dirasa, and so on. We'll see those examples as we go through the lesson. Point number 9, mudiyun, with shadda on the ya, means a lapse of time or passing of time. And this word mudiyun is the master of mada, yamdi. Mada, yamdi. Yani for time to pass. It is on the pattern, the original pattern for this master, mudi, is fu'ulun, which means the first radical, the meem, should take dhamma, and the second radical, the dhad, takes dhamma elongated by waw, and then the third radical takes whatever is required for the case ending. So, the master mudiyun from the verb mada, meem, dad, alif maksura or ya, it should have been, yani the first radical, meem taking dhamma, second radical, dad taking dhamma elongated by wa, and the third radical, the ya, taking the case ending that's required. So originally it should have been mudiyun, but because of the final ya, the yun, the waw has been changed to ya as well. The waw that is elongated, the dhamma is changed to ya, and as a result, also the dhamma must be changed to kasra. The dhamma of the dad subsequently is changed to kasra, and the word instead of muduyun became mudiyun. Alright, so the original pattern for it is fu'ul, dhamma, dhamma, waw. So originally it should have been muduyun, but because there's a ya in the end, they change the waw to ya as well, and the dhamma before it to kasra to be munasib for it, yani to fit with it. So it became mudiyun, the master for mada yamdi, mudiyun. Originally it should have been muduyun. Number 10, and we're approaching the end of our time. The broken plural pattern, fa'alilu, fa'alilu. The first radical takes fatha, the second radical takes fatha elongated by alif, and the third radical takes kasra. The fourth radical takes whatever is necessary. So this is from a word that has four radicals, four root letters. This pattern is for a word that has four or more root letters. Fa'alilu. The first radical takes fatha, second radical takes fatha elongated by alif, third radical takes kasra. This is like dafatiru from daftar. Daftar has four radicals. Del, fa, ta, ra. So it's here, the broken plural pattern for it is fa'alil or dafatir. Same thing, funduk, yani fanadik is from funduk, fa, noon, del, qaf, four letters. On the pattern of fa'alil, it became fanadiku. So this broken plural pattern is called muntaha al-jumu', the ending, the final plural form. And its singular form has four letters. Again, this is used for a word. The singular of it has four radicals. And that's how we get, yani, the pattern of fa'alil, because it has four radicals. Fa'ain, lam, and another lam. Four radicals. So funduk and daftar are the singulars of fanadiq and dafatir. If the plural of a word with more than four letters is formed on this pattern is for a four letter word. If the original singular form has more than four letters and the broken plural pattern of this pattern fa'ilun is used, only four letters are retained in the plural form and the rest are dropped. So the pattern is used with four letters. If a word has five or six letters, one or two of the letters have to be dropped, and we use this pattern fa'ilun with only four of the letters, and we can see that in the examples that they give us. Barnamijun means programs. Barnamij or barnamijun has six letters. Program. It has six letters. Its plural is baramij. Its plural is baramij. So two letters, the noon in barnamij, the noon and the aleph are deleted. So only four letters are used. Ba, ra, mim, and jim. On the pattern of fa'il, it became baramij. Programs. Note that the letters Noon and Aleph have been dropped in order to reduce it to four letters for this pattern. Here are some more examples. Safar Jalun, quince, which means some kind of plant. So it originally has five letters in the root. The plural of it, yani the lam is deleted, so the plural is made from Sin, Fa, Ra, and Jim, yani Safarij. And the same thing with Ankabut, spider, which originally has six letters. The waw and the ta on the end are omitted to take Ayn, Noon, Kaf, and Ba to formulate the plural on the pattern of fa'alil, became anaqib. And Andalib, the nightingale bird, also has six letters. So the ya and the ba on the end are omitted, and only four letters are retained for this pattern, the Ayn, the Noon, the Del, and the Lam. It became Anadil. And Mustashfa, hospital, also has six letters. The Seen and the Ta, in Mustashfa, the Seen and the Ta after the Meme, are omitted to work with four letters, the Meme, Sheen, Fa, and Alif Maksura. For the word hospital, Mustashfa, so the four letters, Meme, Sheen, Fa, and Alif, became the letters on the pattern of fa'alil, became mashafin, if it had alif lam, because this is the ism manqus. If it had alif lam, it would be al-mashafi, but because it doesn't have alif lam, it loses the ya on the end, it became mashafin, hospitals. And actually our time is up here, there's only one matter related, so we're going to finish it. Hopefully you pardon me for taking a couple of extra minutes. Somebody wrote, how would a person know which letters to drop? We learned that from looking in the dictionary for the plural of these words that have five or six letters, more than four letters. We look in the dictionary and see what the plural is, and then we'll see what letters they dropped. There's no pattern for which letters to drop. It could be in the end, it could be in the middle, it could be anywhere. So there's no specific pattern, and the only way we'll know is, like when we learn a singular word, we look in the dictionary to learn its plural. We don't always have a pattern for it, a specific pattern for every word. And then likewise, when we learn a madhi verb, we learn the mudari. We don't know what the vowel is going to be on the middle radical in the mudari. We learn that from the dictionary. So the same thing here. Words that have more than four letters, if the plural or broken plural pattern is formed for them on this pattern, we have to just look in the dictionary and see which letters they have deleted. Finally, point number 11, the plural of khati'atun, which means a sin, is khataya. Here are some examples of this pattern. Yani hadiyatun, a gift. Its plural is hadaya on the pattern of fa'ala. Maniyatun means fate or death. Its plural is manaya. Yani fa'ala. Pattern of fa'ala. And zawiyatun, an angle or a corner in a building or a place. Its plural is zawaya on the pattern of fa'ala. So these are examples, and we're going to see this when we go through the lesson. We'll look at it in a little bit more detail. Other examples of words like this, like khati'a or hadiyya or maniyya or zawaya. We'll see that lots of words like these have their plural is on the pattern of fa'ala. Alright, so we'll look at that when we get to the lesson. When we come to the end of the lesson, this is probably going to be one of the last things that we're going to take as we do the exercises for this lesson. We'll see it, yani maybe not next week, but in the following week. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you, that He grant us success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone, and that He, yani, recognize, reward, and report our good deeds, and multiply them, and pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He keep us, and He grant us at thabat, and He tawfiq, to be firm and steadfast upon the sirat al-mustaqim, and to return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us, our loved ones who are ill, and that He shower His mercy upon those who have passed away, and that He forgive and pardon their mistakes, that He recognize and record and reward and accept their good deeds, and that He fill their graves with light, and that He make their graves spacious, and that He protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the hellfire, and He admit them into paradise. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen.